Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Back Porch. This is the podcast that we do here at First Grapevine. I'm Monica. I am the director of Families with Young Children here at the church. I'm one of the podcast hosts here, and I'm usually excited to be here, just happy to be part of the podcast. It's been a long time since I started it off, so we're happy that you're listening. We're excited that you're with us. And so I'm going to let you introduce yourselves, because I'm not even going to try to do the fancy schmancy introduction. So why don't you start to my left?
Hi, I'm Carly. I'm the pastor of discipleship. So that is,
I'm saying there's more now.
Mm-hmm. So discipleship includes birth to death, cradle to grave, growing in your faith, whatever that looks like. So that's a new, expanded role for me. It used to just be adult discipleship, and now it includes family ministry. So that's really exciting. And I also help out with things like women's ministry and young adults. So that's what I do. I get to do all the fun stuff.
That is a lot of fun stuff. And we're excited. Like Carly was saying, that's kind of a new thing that's being added to her plate is family ministries, which we are excited about. It's going to be really fun. We are sad, though. Honestly, this always happens when there's, a changeover for family ministries, is because we've had a few in the last couple of years, and it's always, very sad that the person is leaving, but every time we've gotten someone awesome to replace. So we've always gone, we're always happy and sad. We're never just ugh.
That's a good track record. That's good.
And we're never oh, thank goodness, that's over. We can move on. We're not ever in that spot. But now you may introduce yourself.
Yes, and I'm Alan, also a pastor here, and I am kind of oversee all of the missions and outreach things that we do, and also all of the pastoral care and compassion ministries. So basically, if we're caring for somebody who is a human being, that's kind of in
what
my
if you're
thing.
Caring for Karen.
I can care for Karens, even though it's sometimes hard. Depends on the Karen. I know some good Karens. I know some really good Karens don't fit the mold at all. And also anything that involves food around here, I'm usually involved in. So
yeah, that's fun. I like that. We're excited that you're listening. Thank you guys for listening. Today we're going to talk about our scripture for this Sunday's sermon. That's kind of what we've been doing lately. We have our new sermon series that we just started called Revive. The first Sunday was really cool. We did, I'll say this because I wasn't really involved in it, so I feel like I can say objectively, we had contemporary service back in the chapel for the first time in
almost
a year and a half, 2 years. Yeah. And it was so good. I wanted to cry. It just was so nice. It kind of just feels like home base there. That's kind of where, I don't know, it just feels the most comfortable. So it was, and it was just it was a really good Sunday. So if you were there, I'm sure you agree. If you were not, you can watch it, I think.
You can't. There were some technical issues, and it did not get recorded this last Sunday. But you can come this Sunday.
That's right. You can come this Sunday because it's going to be just as good. So that's been really nice. If you, if you're confused about the schedule of what is where and who's preaching and what's happening and what kind of music, let us know and we can help you. We can help you anytime you come in on a Sunday. You can find anyone who's opening a door or walking. Anyone who's walking really fast on a Sunday morning, stop them and ask them your question, because they will have the answer. People who don't have answers are really just walking around very casually. People who know things are walking really fast. So there you go. If you ever are in a church or anywhere and you need a question, you don't know who to ask. Ask somebody who's walking really quickly.
That's
that's who's going to know. So we're going to talk this Sunday about John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. I guess I'll just read it because it's pretty short. I don't use the CEB, so this is not exactly the version that you'll hear on Sunday, but same Bible, same thing. Jesus said to her, and the her he's talking to is a Samaritan woman that Jesus is speaking to at the town well. And we'll talk a little bit more about her in a little bit. But Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So I'll tell y'all a little bit about the woman at the well, and then I want y'all to talk about kind of the actual bit that we're going on this Sunday. So the woman at the well, in my Bible, she's called the woman of Samaria. You may have heard of her before, and you might not have, and that's okay. So she's a woman from country? I don't know. Is Samaria a country?
It's an area.
Okay. The area. Her home is Samaria, and people from Samaria are called Samaritans, and they were not well-liked. They were pretty much hated. They were ostracized. They were not welcome in any kind of Jewish circle whatsoever. And so this woman, Jesus and his disciples have been walking, and Jesus stops at the well, and his disciples go on into town to do whatever they're doing. And so Jesus sits at the well, and it's the middle of the day, and nobody goes to the well in the middle of the day because it's hot, just like we don't go out running in the summer in the afternoon. You go in the early morning or you go in the evening because it's bearable. So there's nobody there, and except for this woman, this Samaritan woman. She comes to the well because she's not welcome any other time. So she has to come in the middle of the day when there's nobody else around, because she's basically not allowed to come during the regular time of the day when all the other women are coming to get water. She and Jesus start to talk, which is also unusual. It'd be very unusual for Jesus, a Jewish man, to talk to a Samaritan woman about anything. And Jesus starts talking to her, and he starts telling her like what almost sound like riddles. Like he's trying to talk to her about like things that she's familiar with, but with a weird spin that's very confusing to her. I feel like he's doing this to kind of like get her wheels in her mind turning so that she starts thinking about something new, as opposed to the stuff that she's always been stuck in. And so as they talk is when Jesus starts talking about this idea of worshiping in spirit and in truth, and kind of, and not necessarily changing the way people worship, but like broadening the idea of what worship is. So what do y'all got?
Yeah, that's about right. And this is the second week of our new series, where we're focusing on kind of the core tenets of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so last week was prayer. This week is worship, and we're going to move forward into, you know, repentance and those types of things. And so I think an important thing to understand in this story is that there's a shared background. There's a shared faith tree. So that at one point the God, if you will, that the Samaritans are worshiping is actually the same God that the Jews are worshiping, but because of history and events and things, they've kind of been split away. And so she asks in this question, she's like, we worship our God here on this mountain, which has historical significance to us, and honestly to you too, but you say we have to go to Jerusalem because at the time, you know, that's where God was. God was nowhere else in the world, at least in the intellectual understanding of God. And so God was in the temple in Jerusalem, and in order to actually worship him, you had to go there. And Jesus is saying, is like, look, you know, you've lost your way a little bit. The God that you guys used to worship was the shared one, but you've kind of, you know, you kind of lost the plot, if you will. And so we're saying that you have to worship in Jerusalem, but that's just true for right now. They don't understand the big story yet either. Things are going to change, and soon the whole world is going to know that God is everywhere, and worship can look like a lot of different things as long as it has been done in spirit and truth. Mm-hmm. And so that if you are if you are truly into it with your heart and your spirit, and you understand the truth of what you're doing, then we're all going to come united. So the way that you put it and broadening it out, yeah, that's exactly what he's talking about. So, you know, hey, go spread the news, right? Mm-hmm. Not only are you forgiven, but everyone is, and God is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So let's come together and do this together.
And so I think if you're thinking about what does this mean for my life, how does this story apply? And we're talking about worship. Worship is something that you participate in. It's not an event you attend. And I think realizing that was a big shift in my understanding of what church was. When I was little, I was an acolyte, like the person who brings the candle flame to the candles and to signify the presence of Christ. And I was from a small church. We were the only young family at the early service. And so I knew that if I wasn't there, those candles weren't going to get lit in the proper way with an acolyte. And even something as small as that, it taught me that I have a role to play in worship. And whether you're doing something like being an acolyte or reading scripture, or you're singing and praying and listening, those are the roles that we play to worship God, to give our praise back to God, to give our worries back to God. And sometimes we talk about worship as I need to be filled up, I need to do whatever. I think that's important too, but I think it's important to remember that worship is it's an act of worship to God, meaning it's something you do for God. And so thinking about like speaking of the changes that we made to worship, some people don't like the sanctuary, some people don't like the chapel, some people want this kind of music. And this story calls the question, what's the essentials? What are the essentials? What's important to worshiping? And if I can't worship because it's not this kind of song I like, I challenge you to think, what am I actually doing here? And that's not to say you shouldn't go to the service that, you know, fits your style best. But maybe if you're really comfortable in a certain type of worship service, maybe you should try a different kind of worship service and see what it feels like. And maybe that'll help you pick up on what are the essentials? What are the commonalities? I went on a retreat this weekend, it's a Catholic retreat center in Dallas. And I had been there a few times before, but not for a retreat. I had just been for like classes. And when I got there, one, I learned that it was a silent retreat, which is a whole nother story. But the other thing I realized quickly is that I was going to be participating in a lot of very Catholic worship practices, which Catholics are Christians. They do things a little bit differently than a lot of other churches around here, but it's the same God, it's the same Jesus, it's the same Holy Spirit. And so I really had to challenge myself when I'm doing the prayers a little bit differently than I'm used to, or I'm not singing the songs I'm used to. I had to challenge myself, what's at the core here?
So. Yeah, I agree. I think that we've talked about this before, that a lot of what Jesus did, and I'm just going to keep repeating it because I didn't really get it until very recently. So I'm not going to stop saying this. So I'm sorry. But like, Jesus came and he's saying to these people who have built their entire lives, their entire society for generations on their religious beliefs and their religious traditions. There wasn't trying a new thing. Trying a new thing wasn't a thing that Jews did at that time. Like, they didn't try new things. They didn't branch out. They followed the traditions that they believed kept them close to God. And Jesus came in as saying over and over and over again, like, what you're doing isn't bad. What you're doing isn't wrong. There's just more. Like, you are looking through a very, like, small lens, but you could widen it way out and see so much more and get so much more out of it. And so I think, like, I write notes in my Bible, and I don't know when exactly I wrote these, not long ago. The three things that were very, very, very present and very important in the Jewish religious traditions then was tradition, location, and performance. Like, those were not the only three important things, but those were three really important things. You had to go to a certain place. You had to do it at a certain time, at a certain day, with a certain, you know, I mean, there were a lot of rules. There's a lot of structure. And so for Jesus to come in and just kind of like loosen up the structure part of it and not tear it all down, but just kind of loosen it up and say, you know, what really matters is what your attitude is like. What is your attitude when you're worshiping? What does your heart feel like when you're worshiping? Like, is this an authentic, legit practice for you? Or are you performing a task that is on your to-do list kind of thing? And so I think those are important things to think about when we come to worship. And I think, Carly, I think you're so right when you're talking about how we've moved stuff around and we've done this forever. Like, we've always done this. Every couple of years, we change the times or we change the location or we change the person in charge. And we don't always like that. And that's okay. It's okay to not, you know, agree with the decision that's made. It's okay to not really like change all that much. But what we really want is for you to be able to say, like you were saying, is this the most important part of my worship experience? Or is there something else that I'm not focusing on that I should? If you're focusing a lot on the music or the preaching or the building or, you know, whatever, it's okay to notice those things. It's okay to have preferences on those things. We all do. But if that's the main focus and the thing that is make or break for you, then I just would really encourage you to, like, loosen up that structure that you're used to and say, what else could I focus on? What else could I look at and say, you know, this is a great thing. Like, what parts are good? What parts are you supposed to be thinking about? I don't know. I think that that's a really big deal of just, that's kind of what Jesus is trying to say. Like, traditions are great, but you don't have to be a slave to your traditions. You don't have to live and die by all of these traditions. What is most important is the attitude of your heart. And if you're being truthful and authentic and honest in the way that you are worshiping. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think often the reason we get so caught up in, I like this style, or I like it when we do this, or this is important to me, is because we want to have a worship experience that's meaningful to us. And we kind of talk about those mountaintop experiences or those like spiritual highs, which is what for many of us have been, those moments have been catalysts in our faith. They've been very meaningful to us. They've changed the way we looked at the world. But the reality is that you're not going to have those moments every time you come to worship, which is weird for a pastor to say, but I think it's important for us to recognize that our spiritual life, our life in general, has its ups and downs. And so I just got done reading Inspired by Rachel Held Evans, and she talks about in Inspired and in some of her other books, this struggle to go to worship when you are really questioning things or you're really struggling or you're just, your heart's not in it. And she talks about having these practices, like she was an Episcopalian, so she had a lot of formal prayers that she would read or liturgy or songs that she would sing. And she talked about having those things as for the days that she went in and she's like, I don't know if I believe any of it, those words would speak for her. And she talks about kind of faking it till you make it, which is another weird thing to say. But the idea that this faith isn't perfect and faith takes effort and the grace of God. And so on the days that you don't feel like worshiping, that you don't feel like going to church, you go anyway. And you let the people around you do the praying. You let other people speak for you. And you ask God for that desire to worship again. And in doing that and having worship as a discipline or a practice or a habit, that's going to help you have a more meaningful relationship with God, I think. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think I grew up, I remember in third grade, Colin Lane, my neighbor, asked me, why don't you go to Cottonwood Baptist Church? It's right by our houses. And I said, I don't know. Let me ask my parents. And then I said, why don't we go to Cottonwood Baptist? And they said, because we're Methodist. And it was the only Methodist church in town. I didn't really know what it meant to be Methodist. I knew that we could sing and dance and have instruments, whereas my other friends' churches couldn't. And we went every Sunday. There was never a question that we weren't going unless you were sick. And so there are some days I didn't want to go, but that practice of going anyway really helped me to, it really kept me on track. Like even when I went to college and seminary, that practice of showing up anyway and letting God take care of your feelings and emotions. Because really your feelings and emotions are a small part of worship.
And I think that, you know, you could argue the fact that you don't have to go to a worship service to be a Christian. I mean, mm-hmm. that's argued. But I would argue back that that may be true, but I don't think you can be fully mm-hmm. and embrace fully what God wants for you. I mean, there are things that you have to do. I mean, when I grew up same way you did, Carly, where we went to church every Sunday. I mean, I was super active in the youth program. That and Scouts were like what I did for my social activities. I preached the youth service Sunday. And then I got to college and just stopped going. And I didn't go to college. I mean, I didn't go to church except for maybe once or twice over the course of 4.5 years. And then I got married and it wasn't a priority in our life. And until we started going back, we didn't realize what we had been missing. And, you know, we talk about, or some people will talk about the corporate worship,
mm-hmm.
and that sounds awful because in our Western brain, it immediately goes to like corporations and business and all that, but that means corporal, it means body.
Mm-hmm.
And like you always say, is like, we're more complete when you are here. That is true. Mm-hmm. And we, the people you're speaking to when you say that, also become more complete when we join ourselves with the body on Sundays or mm-hmm. Wednesday nights or whatever it happens to be. Sunday night youth, if you want a really special experience, you should come to the worship of our youth praise band on Sunday night. It is amazing. And just the passion that they pour into that. I mean, some of the, you know, no offense to our paid musical people, but Sunday night, some of the best music at this church. And that's just, I'm just going to throw that out there. So, and again, yeah, it's sometimes when you're at your lowest point is when you need those types of things as a reminder of who you are and whose you are, who you mm-hmm. belong to.
And I also think of communion. We talk about sacraments, these special ways that God's grace is present in our lives. So in our church, we have baptism, where you join the church, you become a Christian, and communion is something we celebrate more often, that you participate in regularly. And you can't have communion by yourself. It's where we take the loaf of bread, we break it, we hold up a cup of juice, or sometimes it's a cup of nothing because we have little juice cups. There's a spoiler alert for you, inside knowledge. We take those things and we share them with each other. And each little, I remember a pastor talking about on before Easter, when we were talking about the Last Supper, and we each took a bite of the loaf of bread. And he said, now each one of us has a piece of the body of Christ in us. And so we're connected to each other through this communion, it's communion with God, but it's communion with one another. And I would argue back to the people who say, I don't need church to worship God. You need other people to be in relationship with. Grant always says, iron sharpens iron. Like, you need that. Well, he's quoting the Bible, but Grant says it a lot. But yeah, you need that in order to really grow in your faith, I think.
Yeah, and I think that, I think, I look at it that way of like Alan was saying, you're missing out on a big piece. Like, it's, I mean, I'm trying to decide what it's like. Well, that's not a good example because not everybody. I was going to say, it's like if you went to Costco and you got a Costco membership and you don't go on Saturday and eat all the samples, like you're missing out on a big part of what's good about a Costco membership. If you don't have to do it, but you're missing out on something really good. Not everybody does that maybe, but you know, we do. But you just like you, it's like accepting something amazing and then like settling for it to just be good.
Yeah. Like getting a gift and not using it.
Yeah. Like it can still be good and you can still get use out of it. But like, why take something that could be amazing and just settle for good? Like that to me, you're just discounting yourself and the life that you could be living. So yeah, I think that when we talk about worship as a discipline, we talk about making it a habit, we talk about making it authentic, we talk about, you know, being a participant, like an active participant, like those are all things that, yes, they require you to do something, they require effort on your part, and but it's not like arbitrary, it's not for nothing. Like it's effort that is rewarded in a huge way by, you know, just these little gifts that you get from the people that are in your life when you're worshiping in a church. So yeah, don't take something great and just make it good.
Yeah.
Take something great and milk it for all that it's worth. Take this gift that you're given and use it all the way up. Like that's how you should be. That's a great way, I think, to look at worship.
Mm-hmm. And I think just to name, I'd say it's the elephant in the room, but I didn't think about it until just now. The three of us talking, when we come to worship, we're leading worship. And so it's very obvious to us that we participate in worship. Like it, that makes a lot of sense in my brain. But I'd love to hear from you, listener, like what is your experience when you're at worship? What's challenging for you? And how does the habit of being in church, how does that help you? So if you feel like emailing us or calling us or catching us on Sunday, I'd love to hear about what that means to you.
Yeah.
Please do. And I actually have to step out because another discipline that we have in church is service. And we have a game night coming up with all of our VAST children and all of the VAST children, which is an after-school program for at-risk children. And I hate that phrase, but you know what I mean. And so if you would like to come play board games for like an hour and a half, please check your e-news and sign up to come play games with kids. That, too, is a Christian discipline. So I'm going to go to that meeting.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
Can we talk about some of the other stuff that's going on at church?
Yes, okay. Let's do it.
Okay, I've got a list. But
oh, okay, what, good.
Well, it's only got three things on it.
I have one thing.
Okay,
my go ahead. One thing is Not So Scary Trunk or Treat is going to be coming up in October.
Oh.
October 23rd, write it down. We need trunks, we need candy, we need people, we need fun costumes, la, la, la. So more information is going to come about that. But yeah, we didn't get to do Trunk or Treat last year because of everything. But we're going to do Trunk or Treat this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get back to something that feels normal.
Yeah. Last time we had it, which was my first Trunk or Treat, the youth took one of the church vans and decorated it like Scooby-Doo's mystery machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the funniest thing ever.
Yes, that, and they all dressed as Scooby-Doo characters.
Yes.
It was so fun.
That and then the Coleman family dressed up as a car salesman and the what do you call it? Those like inflatable, wacky air, like,
yeah, the guy. What do you, like,
what do you call it? It's like the inflatable person that's just like a tube with two tube arms, and it's just flailing in the wind.
Oh my gosh!
And they put window paint on their car. It was like $500 or like whatever you put on a car that's for sale. It was so funny.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Those two are my favorite.
Oh yeah, it's really fun, and like we've also had people who brought two lawn chairs and a bowl of candy. Mm-hmm. And they sat in their lawn chairs and handed out candy. And the kids are just as happy with that. So, you know, you don't have to go huge. You can just, I mean, they've literally sat there without even a car. They park somewhere else and walk over with their lawn chair. So, you know,
that's smart.
You don't have to be like, oh, I'm not very creative. That's okay. You don't have to be creative. You just have to be able to sit there for 2 hours and hand candy out. So, yeah, I'm very excited for Trunk or Treat. We also have Pet Blessing is coming up in October.
The 10th, I think?
The 10th. That's always so fun.
I have not been to a Pet Blessing ever.
Oh, it is very, very fun. I have an off the internet story about Pet Blessing that I'll tell you about later. And if you're listening and you don't want to be left out, come and find me on Sunday or whenever you see me or email me. I can tell it to you. It's just not necessarily on the internet. It's not weird. It's just, I don't want to put it on the internet. So Pet Blessing is so fun. You bring your pet. They get a treat. They get like a little tag. They give out like awards for like best dressed or like best trick or, you know, smallest, biggest, laziest, like slobberiest, that kind of thing. That's so funny. And then, yeah, they bless the pets, and it's really fun.
That's fun. So I have a couple things that I've been working on. The first one are growth groups, which are groups, fall growth groups, which are groups of 8 to 12-ish people who meet on a regular basis, maybe once a week or once every other week. And they study the scripture from last Sunday. They reflect on it, and then they check in on each other. You know, a lot of times we'll go to church and we'll be like, how are you? And then the only answer you can really give is, oh, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah.
And so this is a way to take time to say, no, how are you really? Is there something you need? What can I pray for you about? And so these groups, I'm hoping, will get a mix of people who are old and new to the church. And because we've got a lot of good groups. And sometimes we don't mix our groups and we kind of get in our church bubble because our church is big enough where you're not going to know everyone. And if you're really careful or if you're not careful, you can end up just sticking to the same group of people, which is really great because you go deep with them. But you also miss out on meeting people you probably wouldn't meet if it weren't for church. So on Sunday, the 19th, we're going to have growth groups. Growth group signups. You just sign up for the fall. You're not signing up forever. And we've got a group that's meeting in Colleyville. We've got a group that's meeting on Zoom. We've got a women's group that's meeting at the church. We've got a crafting group, a car club group. And so those are, I hope you'll consider joining one. Hebrews 10:24, which is my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses, talks about, let me know if you want to know my favorite verse, and that's not appropriate for on air either. Not that it's not appropriate, it's in the Bible.
I mean, it is in the Bible.
It is in the Bible. It's just not something I'm going to tell you on air.
Yeah.
They, it talks, Hebrews 10:24 talks about, don't neglect meeting together, as some have been in the habit of doing, but continue to meet and encourage each other. And I think that's such an important part of being the church. So join a growth group. You can also, if you're not at church on Sunday or you just miss out on signing up, the information's online. It's been on Facebook. It's going out in our e-news. It's on our website. Or you can just email me at carlyp@fumcg.org and I'll give you info. Another thing I'm excited about is our hike. That we're doing, we did a Holy Saturday hike the day before Easter. It's called Holy Saturday because it's the day before Easter. And we had a hike in the Grapevine, one of the Grapevine trails, and it was really fun. We had like 40 people there. And so a couple of them said, oh, we should do this again. And so I think we're going to go to Cedar Hill State Park. I'm not completely sure yet. If you've been to Cedar Hill State Park and you want to give me some tips before I can get out there, that would be helpful because I haven't made time to get out there yet.
Yeah.
But that's going to be in mid-October, so fall nature hike. Put that on your radar.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work for a pastor who always said, on our radar, and I picked that up.
I like it.
Yeah. And then the last thing I'll say is, if you're a woman and you'd like to be in a book club, we've got our women's book club. We just had one last night. I have to talk about it constantly, though, because it takes you a while to read a book. So on October 12th, I think whatever that second Tuesday is, we're reading Hallelujah Anyway by Anne Lamott. Ooh, so
that's a good book.
Oh, okay, good.
I've read it.
Can I borrow it?
I don't have it, okay. But I've read it. I've read it from borrowing it from somebody else.
Okay. My mom loves Anne Lamott. I actually haven't read anything of hers other than little blurbs and on Twitter
yeah.
and stuff.
No, yeah, I really love her. Yeah. She's really good. That's exciting.
Yeah, so that's what I've got going on.
That is awesome. So there's a lot going on, and that's only some. Yeah. Like, that's only the things that we're in charge of and, like, excited yeah. about. There's a lot of other things that other people are excited about and in charge of. So you can always check if you get e-news, you can check that. If you watch online, you can look at the announcements. You can email us. There's lots of ways you can figure out what's going on. Or if you're thinking, like, man, I wish they were doing this thing, tell us, and we can help you get that thing going. So, because, you know, like we're talking about, those are ways to worship. Those are ways of, you know, having that community of faith around you. So, do we have anything like just silly?
So I went on a silent retreat on accident this weekend.
That sounds like, I'll tell you, I don't think I would mind a silent retreat if I knew I was going into it. And a surprise silent retreat sounds like the worst kind of retreat.
I wasn't sure when I looked it up online. I couldn't tell if it was silent or not. And I got there and we were signing in and it said, write the name of your retreat. And I was like, I don't know what the name of my retreat is. So I looked at the woman next to me and she was writing women's silent retreat. And I was like, oh, great. And so it was interesting. I didn't mind not talking as much. And you were using your voice like during, it was a Catholic retreat center. So they have very formal prayers that you recite together or you read Bible verses out loud, things like that. So you were using your voice. But other than that, you weren't supposed to talk unless you were talking to the priest and you couldn't have your phone or anything. So I took a lot of naps, walked around some, did a lot of praying and reflecting. And let me tell you, the third day, Saturday, I thought I was gonna go nuts because I couldn't talk. I was rested, so I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And I was just alone, but it was really nice to be able to have that space to reflect and to pray. And they gave us we had talks and they gave us some cool prayer exercises. So I really enjoyed that. But if you're ever interested, if you are interested in a silent retreat, I'd love to talk to you about that. There are a few people I thought of at our church and I was like, oh, so-and-so would like this. Martha knew. If you're listening, Martha, I thought Martha would like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun if you were expecting it. Or, you know, yeah. Fun, but, like, I think it would be enjoyable and, like, pretty valuable if you know what you're going into.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad it was good.
Thanks. I'm glad I didn't go with people I knew. Because then I would have wanted to talk.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't mind not talking to the people I didn't know.
Right. It's easier that way. It's easier. Well, the only thing silly I have is on Sunday, we were sitting in church, and my son Robert, who is 7, he was looking at the bulletin. Well, first he was looking at the screen, and Grant gets up to talk, and it says, like, Grant Palma, Senior Associate Pastor on the screen. And Robert said, Grant's the Senior Associate Pastor? I said, yeah.
And Robert's the only 7-year-old that could discern what that means.
He knows that that's different. He knows it used to be associate. So he's like, Grant's the Senior Associate Pastor? I said, yeah. And he grabs the bulletin from me, and he looks at it, and he's like, Alan's the Associate Pastor. I said, yeah. And he said, and Mike is the Senior Pastor. I said, yeah. And he goes, so what does that make Carly? A Senorita Pastor? I was like, yes, it absolutely does. Senorita Pastor Carly. That was his big, I was like, no, she's like an associate pastor. I was like, senior doesn't mean man or woman. It just means like, you know, it's like about like where they sit in their little whatever. And so I was trying to explain to him that. I told him I'd talk to him about it later. So we were talking about it in the car, and I was like trying to explain to him senior versus senor and how like that's a different language, and like senior doesn't mean mister. Mm-hmm. It was, and he wasn't believing me. He's in a phase right now where he thinks he's right about everything, and you cannot convince him he's not. And so senior does mean mister. I was like, no, Robert, it doesn't. Yes, it does.
You get him a dictionary.
Like, Robert, no, it doesn't. Senior mom, senior and senorita. I was like, no, Robert. And it was just very exasperating. But yes, he believes fully that Carly is the Senorita Pastor. So
that's funny.
There you go. Don't call her that. That's Baby Robert's thing. Just kidding. He's not going to call her that either. I told him. I was like, no, we're not calling her Senorita Pastor. Maybe he'll do it once, yeah, to be funny, and then he'll give it up. But yeah, I think that's all we have for today.
Yeah, I can't think of anything just hilarious. Although my office is full of knitted pumpkins right now. Uh-huh. So the prayer shawl ladies who usually knit prayer shawls for people and give them if you're sick or you're going through a hard time, or they'll pray over a prayer shawl and give it to you, they switched to knitting pumpkins for our homebound members. And I thought, you know, if everyone makes one or two, we'll have enough. And no, someone dropped off a garbage sack full of knitted pumpkins in my office, and people just keep giving me pumpkins, and they're all all over. It's awesome.
I love it.
I've got so many craft supplies in my office. It's great.
Oh, I love it. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of the Back Porch. We love you guys. We couldn't, you know, obviously we couldn't do this without you. Why would we? But we're so glad that you listen, and we're so glad that you're a part of these conversations with us. And like Carly was saying, let us know how worshiping together, being a part of a community of faith, has benefited your life. We would love to share that next week if you would let us, but either way, we just would love to know. So that's all we have for today. And Carly, will you sign us off?
Go everywhere and eat everything.
Bye. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.